So it seems like electricity is becoming the measure of where the AI industry is heading at this point. And, you know, we've seen states like New York, for example, just put an outright ban on these data centers. Mm-hmm. Ohio has been very bullish. They've built many of them.
Yes.
And Michigan is taking more of a cautious approach.
Yeah.
But there's doubts on whether we want them here or people want them here.
Right, because they're protesting them when they pop up in these different areas.
I saw the governor say that she wants guarantees from these companies that they will not raise rates for residents here in the state of Michigan, which I like. But at the same time, where is the expansion of AI headed if there is a stall on some of these facilities? It's an interesting topic, and Eric Norman's the Director of Institute for Public Utilities and the Associate Professor in the Department of Agricultural, Food, and Resource Economics at Michigan State University and joins us. Professor, it's good to have you back this morning. Let's talk about what this means, because the industry is pursuing larger models for artificial intelligence, but how they get there is really in question at this point.
That's right. Good morning. You know, data centers have been around for a long time, for decades. But what we're seeing now is these new generation of hyperscale data centers that are specifically built to serve the AI functions, artificial intelligence functions, and they have an enormous appetite for electricity. So the computing power is increasing dramatically year after year, but with that computing power comes more appetite for electricity. And we're at a point now where our energy systems are, you know, we have to build out if we're going to keep up with this demand from these hyperscale data centers.
I mean, you know, one statistic kind of really jumps out at you. Google's electricity use has increased more than 140% in just a few years. Does that surprise you, or is that's kind of exactly what you expect with this AI boom?
That seems to be the trend. They are building these systems out at a very rapid clip. It surprised many analysts that the jump in electricity use was that big. The report from Axios that you're mentioning also said that there are gains in efficiency in some of these data centers and the chips, which, you know, efficiency is a measure of the output over the input. So while the chips are getting more efficient at using electricity, we're just building more chips, and you know that those efficiency gains are being eaten up by the fact that we're just using much more electricity.
Mm. Well, the industry seems to indicate that if you scale up, there will be better performance, and better performance leads to greater economic goals being reached. Is that something that you think jives?
That is the million-dollar question, whether, you know, there's going to be an economic payoff from all this scaling. It does take a lot of investment, and I don't think anybody has a crystal ball of where we can see the answer at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, and one of the concerns isn't just electricity, Eric, it's water too. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that these big old data centers require tremendous amounts of water for cooling. How significant is that issue, especially in places like the Great Lakes region?
Yeah, the cooling systems are where we're seeing a lot of progress, technological progress. And the older data centers, older hyperscale data centers used once through cooling systems where you take the cold water in, cool the system down, and then, you know, dispose of that waste hot water. Now the modern, many but not all modern data centers are using recycling, closed loop cooling systems where the water comes in, absorbs that waste heat, and then goes to a chiller that cools the water down, and that same water is recirculated. So you fill the system up once.
Yeah.
And you don't have to keep using water all the time, which is a big improvement in terms of water conservation.
Eric Nordman with Michigan State University, thank you for your time, your insight on this interesting topic. We'll continue to follow it.
My pleasure. Have a good morning.
Yeah, you do the same. How about this? You're a big soccer fan. We know that.
Of course I am.
The average cost, or excuse me, the least expensive ticket according to StubHub, for the World Cup final at MetLife Stadium in Jersey, $8,060.
Say what? And that's for, where is the seat?
It's a nosebleed seat.
Okay. $8,000. But now if I'm like, say, suppose I want a good seat, like in the middle.
$70,000.
Excuse me, say that again.
$69,968.
Wow.
Midfield.
$70,000.
The least expensive ticket in this World Cup was $729. That was for France.
In the parking lot?
And England, yeah.
Across the street.
Across the street at the, you know, at the Starbucks.
With binoculars.
Right.
Okay, let's say you travel around the world. Let's say you have come from Argentina, and you want to go to this game.
Okay.
You want to go to this match.
Okay.
You've been here for a month?
About.
Maybe you're just coming for the game.
Okay.
This is one of the more expensive trips you will ever take.
Oh, definitely. Over $100,000
to see your team,
$70,000 ticket,
potentially win the World Cup.
Yeah,
but again, it's different because this is the Mecca.
Yeah,
for soccer. This is it.
Yeah,
this ain't a Champions League final. This ain't a Premier League final.
Nope.
This ain't a UEFA final. This is the World Cup, and your team is in it. You gonna drop $20,000?
No way.
Here's my thing, too, is, like, I've had opportunities to go to, like, I had an opportunity to go to the Game 7 game Red Wings Penguins when Pittsburgh won.
Okay.
And I wouldn't go because I'm like, if they lose, I'm going to be absolutely crushed.
I got this map up in here. It looks like car prices, not seat prices.
Correct.
You know, I mean, come on. What are we doing?
Absolutely insane. Take a break. Get you caught up on some national headlines. It's JR Morning.